And hi, everyone. Welcome once again to the 98.5 NFL Draft Preview. Bob Soucy with you, and it's great to have you with us now, less than 2 weeks away from opening night of the 2018 NFL Draft, of course, with the first round to unfold on Thursday, April 26th in Arlington, Texas. I wish I were talking to you live on this Sunday, but instead, today's program is entirely pre-recorded. As you hear me speak, I'm actually out of the country, but nonetheless, looking forward to our lineup of guests, and I think you're going to enjoy today's show as we continue to count down toward the Patriots' first pick, right now scheduled for number 23, one of the two first-round picks for New England in this year's draft. And here's what's on tap over the course of the next hour. We'll hear from Steve Jones, the voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, as we go on campus to really one of the most fertile grounds right now for college football talent coming out in this year's draft, of course, headlined by Saquon Barkley. We'll then hear from a local native who played his collegiate football at Wesleyan and now analyzes draft prospects for a number of different outlets, Mark Schofield, to talk specifically with him about quarterbacks and especially about quarterbacks who might be available to the Patriots in the second round or later. And then Adam Kirchen of the Boston Herald will join us on our final segment previewing this year's draft. But first, we'll hear from Patriots offensive lineman Ted Karras, who enters his third year, taken out of the University of Illinois 2 seasons ago, of course, as a rookie, a member of a Super Bowl champion. And then last year, after being cut prior to the start of the season, re-signed by the Patriots off their practice squad, wound up playing and contributing as a starter part-time for an AFC conference champ. I asked Ted Karras about how he and his teammates, especially those in the offensive lineman room, will move on now without Nate Solder at left tackle.
Speaking for myself, I'm going to miss Nate Solder. I think he's a great guy and a great friend, and I'm very happy for him. I wish him continued success.
One of the things that you hear all the time is that change is a constant in the National Football League, and it is a business as much as it is a game. For those of us who enjoy it on Sundays, for the people who participate in it and the people who run the organizations, it is a business. Bottom line is a bottom line. When did that reality set in for you?
You know, I think it's always been there. I always had a realistic view of what the NFL was. But, I mean, first year was, so amazing. You got to make the team, get drafted, make the team. We win the Super Bowl. And then, this past year, you get cut. And the reality of that sets in that you could go, your rights could be picked up by any number of teams, or you could just be out of work. So, it definitely, like you said, is a bottom line business. And, you just got to work your hardest to make sure that you can always, be a commodity that remains employed.
In some ways, did that start even before you got drafted, when you went through the process of preparing for pro workouts? You had gone to Phoenix. Is that when the realization of what this was about started to set into?
Yeah, and then when you sign with an agency and all the kind of pomp and circumstance that comes with the NFL draft process, it's fun. I mean, I've enjoyed every minute of these last 3 years, and there's been tough times, but I couldn't envision myself doing anything else. So yeah, I mean, the reality of it being a business definitely sunk in when you had to hire a representative, and then you get a little bit of a little bit more money, and you have to start making adult decisions and stuff that to represent yourself in a positive way.
Having come from a family with bloodlines in the NFL and college football at a very high level, were you well prepared for that process?
Well, I think, as much, I played a lot of football in college. I think, I had some great coaches and some, my mother and father are great mentors to me. But, a lot of it is brand new territory for you. No matter how much, you're prepared for, you just got to go out and do it. So my philosophy has just been to just roll with anything that came my way and always just try to play my hardest.
What do you remember about the last days before the draft and what the experience was like preparing yourself for the possibility of getting a phone call you maybe dreamt about, but also the possibility of not receiving that call?
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking, especially as a guy was a late round pick. You're waiting around. You see, I saw 220 guys get that phone call before I got called. So it's a mix of a little bit of anxiety, anticipation. You're really, really hoping that you get a call, and when it does come, it was an awesome experience. And I think it was like a honeymoon for like a day, and then you realize it's time to get down to serious business.
Knowing what you know about the experience in retrospect, what would be the advice you'd give to the young pros to be who are coming out of college and now only a couple of weeks away from their draft day?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the legwork has gone into it. You know, my advice for, you know, would be back in March just to, you know, treat every day like it's, you know, super important. But as far as guys that are stepping into the league, be open-minded and ready to work and make sure that you're coachable, both from coaches and from older players.
When the spot came up, number 221, sixth round, a couple of years ago, was it Bill Belichick on the other end of the phone line?
It was Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft. So I was pretty starstruck at the time, and really, I had all my family and friends at my house in Indianapolis, and it was just a really special moment, one that, you know, I'll remember for the rest of my life.
And Ted, thereafter, when you reported to Foxborough, what was the first thing that you discovered that really surprised you about what it was going to be like to be an NFL player, as much as you tried to prepare yourself for it?
I thought, you know, in college there are always these rumors that the NFL was a little bit easier of a schedule and kind of a workload, and I don't think I was surprised to find out how hard it was and how hard we worked. I like that, and but I just, you know, when you see all the NFL, the glamour part of it, it's a lot of hard work, and it's something that I really enjoy.
And it's not just hard work physically. One of the things that I've heard often about the NFL that surprises people is how academic it is. The amount of time you spend studying football, and even on the practice field, seeing and hearing coaches explain things to you far outweighs the amount of time you actually get in a three-point stance and fire off the ball.
Absolutely. I mean, football is 3D chess with the biggest, strongest men in the world. It's that's why everyone loves it so much. I think it's, you know, I believe it's the greatest team game that has been invented thus far. And, yeah, I mean, it's hyper strategy, and you got to know what you're doing and what other guys are doing and tendencies of opponents. There's a whole myriad of things that go into a game plan. So,
did college prepare you for that, your experience in the Big Ten at Illinois?
Yes. I mean, I had a lot of coaches in college. Maybe unfortunately, you know, we had some tenuous years there at Illinois, but, you know, I had some great ones throughout the time that they were there, and we did a lot of preparation in college too, which I was grateful for when I showed up here in May 2016.
We asked you at the start about a player who left this organization, but at the same time there's continuity within the Patriots in particular in your room, and that your coach is back once again, Dante Scarnecchia, for year three out of retirement, continuing to make his impression on the offensive lineman that he coaches. What's he like to work for and under every day?
It's an honor to play for a coach like Dante Scarnecchia. You know, I was thrilled when he was one of the only coaches that worked me out in the draft process, and then to be able to, you know, he had enough confidence in me to draft me and then make the team these last 2 years, and I've learned so much. It's like a football academy. I've learned, you know, so many awesome things from him, and both on and off the field. He's a spectacular man off the field as well. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, meeting back up in April and getting to work.
You guys are about to get started, as you allude to. How excited are you about this opportunity for year three, and what area in particular are you really emphasizing for yourself this year?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a dream come true, you know. As a college-age kid, I could never, you know, it was always like my fantasy to be an NFL guy who's, you know, had multiple seasons, and to be going into year three, I feel very blessed and thankful. And, you know, one thing I want to do is just continue to carve out a role for myself, whatever that may be. I'm happy with any job in the NFL, and especially on this team. It's, you know, we have so many good competitive guys, and I'm just really looking forward to, you know, getting in there and carving out my spot like I've done the last 2 years.
Well, you also have big news and reason to be happy in a personal way. Recently married.
Yes, married my wife Rachel on February 17th in Naperville, Illinois, and we went to Maui for a week, and then we came right back, moved into a house together, and got right back to work in March for this upcoming year.
From Paradise back to Patriots Place.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Ted. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bob.
That was Ted Karras out of the University of Illinois, our guest. When we come back, we're going to go to Penn State with the voice of the Nittany Lions, Steve Jones, to tell us about Saquon Barkley and more in this year's draft class out of Happy Valley. But first, these words on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Breaking it all down. This is the NFL Draft Show. Brought to you by Carrier. Turn to the experts on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to our 98.5 The Sports Hub NFL Draft Preview. Time to check in now in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, with the voice of the Nittany Lions, longtime voice of Penn State football, Steve Jones, who calls the games alongside Pro Football Hall of Famer Jack Ham. And watch Saquon Barkley emerge as arguably the nation's best player and certainly the best player in the minds of many going into this draft over the last couple of years, but also a very rich class of Penn State players in this draft beyond Barkley. More than 20 prospects at the recent Penn State Pro Day, again, maybe giving Penn State its best draft class in at least the last decade, Steve. How would you assess just how good this group of players is coming out of Happy Valley?
Well, probably the deepest classes I can remember for Penn State would be probably the 87 draft class off the 86 season, the 95 draft class, obviously, off the 94 season with Kerry Collins, Kajana Carter, Kyle Brady, and then maybe the 99 one with Courtney Brown and LeVar Arrington. This is probably the deepest class since then in terms of the pure depth that they have in the class. So they can fill a wide variety of needs for various teams out there, and they've developed these players very well to get them to this point.
Let's backtrack a bit in the aftermath of what took place leading to Bill O'Brien's arrival at Penn State. Steve, how much of his imprint is on this particular class of players, if there is still an O'Brien effect?
Well, it'll be an O'Brien effect in a couple of areas. One would be Deshaun Hamilton. Deshaun Hamilton was brought in the same time as Christian Hackenberg. So his freshman year, even though he was redshirted, was under Bill O'Brien, and Bill recruited him. Even though Mike Gesicki never practiced a moment under Bill O'Brien, it was actually Bill O'Brien who recruited him and got him to Penn State. And so that's the imprint that you see. Anybody who would have been a fifth-year player in this class, or a guy like Gesicki who was recruited at that time, those are the players that Bill O'Brien would have a direct effect on. And Bill O'Brien did a great job while he was here at Penn State in his 2 years. And I think because of him, it laid the foundation for what James Franklin's been able to do.
Well, you mentioned two guys, and certainly Hamilton foremost among those two, who I think are most likely on the Patriots' radar realistically going into this draft. But, of course, the headliner is the aforementioned Saquon Barkley. What's special about him beyond the physical gifts in terms of the attitude and the aptitude that he brought to the field?
Well, you want to have somebody attitude-wise that is never satisfied. You watch Tom Brady all the time. Tom Brady is never satisfied. And you mentioned Bill O'Brien. Bill, of course, coached him, and he told me a lot about working with Tom Brady. So now you get to Barkley, never satisfied. He's the guy that wants to run a faster 40 time and figures out a way to do it. He's a guy that wants to lift more in the weight room. He wants to do it. He's the guy that goes up to the coaching staff in a blowout game and says, hey, could you guys put Nick Urie into the game? Who's Nick Urie? He's a walk-on running back from northeastern Pennsylvania. And Saquon Barkley is thinking about that guy getting into the game because he knows how important it would be for him to get into the game. So that's the kind of attitude guy you want. You also want somebody who wants to be better. So Barkley has natural gifts as a running back. All right, so then he had to improve as a pass receiver. Did that. In fact, he runs routes. Le'Veon Bell runs routes. Well, so does Barkley. And then Barkley, the last part of it, wanted to be a better blocker. You can't play on the NFL level unless you can block. And on the game-winning touchdown pass that Penn State had on the final play of the game at Iowa, it was Barkley who picked up Josie Jewell's blitz right in the hole and stoned him and created the play. So he's always had the ability to want to make himself better, but he's also been that great teammate that everybody loves to be around.
Charles Davis was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said not only this year, but in his mind, the last 2 years, Saquon Barkley was the best player in college football. When you're broadcasting, calling a game, whether he's back there to return a kick or catching the ball or, of course, taking a handoff, are you literally on the edge of your seat?
Every time, Bob, that they gave the ball to him, I always felt that I was about to call a big play. Now, it's not always going to happen, but I always felt, okay, the possibility of a big play is going to happen. Years ago, Vin Scully talked about Sandy Koufax. He felt every time Koufax went out there, there was a possibility that night of a no-hitter. With Saquon Barkley, when he dropped back to return a kick, I thought there was a chance it could go. When he got pitched the ball, I thought there was a chance to go. The 92-yard run he had in the Fiesta Bowl, good example. He broke through. He was at the 30-yard line. Bob, I knew he was gone. As simple as that. You know, and that's the kind of player that he is. He's a generational player, at least on the college level. He is a generational player.
Steve Jones, voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, with us, and you mentioned Deshaun Hamilton a bit earlier. He spent some time with the Patriots wide receivers coach Chad O'Shea after his pro day workout. He's a guy who has talked about watching Julian Edelman and try to emulate some of what he brings to the Patriots as a slot receiver. How good a fit would a guy like Hamilton be with New England?
Hamilton would be a very good fit, and he's somebody who is dead serious as a worker. He is a young man from a military family, so he brings that military discipline mentally to how he works. He also is someone off the field whose brother has autism, and that really has shaped him as a person as well. As a football player, excellent route runner, better speed than people realize, excellent hands, and he does a great job of getting a release off the line of scrimmage. So I think as a slot receiver, which is where I think he'll fit in the NFL, he's going to be a highly productive guy. He won't be the star on any given day, but I think you're going to look down on a given day and say, wow, he had 6 catches for 82 yards in the game and a touchdown. He has that kind of ability.
Steve, how about Gesicki, the tight end?
Gesicki is interesting because look at the great tight ends in the league. Now, Gronk isn't going to fall into this category, but let's think of Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Jimmy Graham. What do they all have in common? They're all basketball players. In fact, I did Gates' last game at Kent State in the NIT back in 2000 when they played Penn State. And they're all basketball players. Gesicki was a 2-time New Jersey Player of the Year in basketball. And he brings a basketball mentality as to how he plays tight end. He's 6'6". He runs a 4.54, big plus. So a linebacker is not going to be able to keep up for him. Like Gronk, Gronk's an impossible matchup because linebackers can't cover him and he's too tall for safeties. Well, same thing with Gesicki. He's not built like Gronk, but he's too tall for safeties and he's too quick for linebackers. And if you want to get into a situation when you need to make a play, he understands rebounding basketball position as to how to use his body to shield the defender to then go up and get the ball.
There are certainly other players from Penn State who will be attractive, I would think, to the Patriots, one of whom has a great story in that he's a former walk-on with 2 degrees, and his fallback plan, if the NFL doesn't work out, is to go to medical school, and that's Brandon Smith. And I mention him perhaps maybe as a priority free agent for a team, if not in New England, but someone who would bring special teams value. How intriguing is that young man, and who are some of the other players that you think might fit well with an organization like New England?
Well, you mentioned my broadcast partner, Jack Ham, who knows more about linebacking than anybody on the planet. And when Brandon Smith got into a game a couple of years ago when Jason Kabinda got hurt, after about 3 or 4 plays, we went to a commercial break, and he looked at me and he said, Brandon Smith knows how to play linebacker. He knows how to play it. You know, there are certain guys that may not have measurables. You know, you put them on a watch and so forth, but they have instinct. Brandon Smith has excellent football instinct, so he makes up for a step here or there because he knows where he's supposed to be and he knows how to play it. And he would be a very, very good special teams player for anybody out there. Smart, it won't take him long to pick up schemes. There's no question about that. Other players that are intriguing, I mentioned Kabinda. Kabinda's a good linebacker who, especially against the run, and also has the ability to get you into the right defense. Marcus Allen is a guy that, in today's NFL, you can creep him up to the line of scrimmage, and he can almost be like that third or fourth linebacker, depending on what sub-package you're in. And then he could also play safety. He tracks the ball very, very well, but he also plays the run really well. And you saw how Malcolm Jenkins, of course, played at times for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where Penn State used him in that capacity. Christian Campbell's another guy at a corner, really good speed, length at 6'1". Troy Apke blew everybody away with a 4.3, 4.40 as a safety. And then, of course, there's Grant Haley, who's another sub-4.4 guy at the other corner, but doesn't quite have the size that Christian Campbell has. So those are some of the guys on the Penn State board I think that are intriguing.
Of course, when you're calling Penn State football, you're the voice of the Nittany Lions, but you're also getting a chance to broadcast some of the premier players in the country for other schools. Who stood out for you? I mean, Hurst is a guy from Michigan that many believe will go early in the first round, but your favorite players from the opposition over the course of the last couple of years that are in this draft class, who would they be?
Well, of course, I mean, you know, over the years, I mean, I could have told you pretty much that Zeke Elliott was going to be really great in the NFL because of all the things I saw him do at Ohio State firsthand. But in this particular class, you mentioned Mo Hurst at Michigan. Uses his hands really well. I mean, it's not just footwork, but uses his hands like a linebacker at times. And he gets great burst off the line of scrimmage. The Ohio State defensive front, Sam Hubbard's really good off the edge. And they've got a couple of other guys in that draft class up front where I felt that was the deepest defensive line I saw in college football in person this season. Now, I didn't see Alabama in person this year, but the teams I saw, they were the best. Vita Vea of Washington, another guy, first-round pick, built perfectly for a defensive tackle, good burst. Again, the ability to use his hands like a linebacker. He can hand fight through anybody. And I had Vita Vea in the Fiesta Bowl game. Those are some of the guys that right off the bat stuck out to me, and I said, wow, big-time players.
Well, you've watched the Nittany Lions excel the last couple of years, and now, of course, looking ahead to the spring game and the Penn State players of the present, we appreciate a little time reflecting on the guys you had a chance to call these last few years now coming out in the draft. Steve, thanks so much.
Bob, always a pleasure. You are a pro's pro and a good friend.
Likewise. Steve Jones, longtime voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, back with more right after this.
Breaking it all down. This is the NFL Draft Show. Brought to you by Carrier. Turn to the experts on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game invite. But I think when you watch Woodside, I've done videos on him, I've written about him a bunch, you see that footwork, that ability to maneuver in pockets and create space. And then you couple that with also, like I mentioned with Lauletta, the timing and rhythm throws, which are critical to keeping an offense on schedule because, as you know, plays are designed to get the ball out at a certain time, to get it to the receiver in a certain moment in his route where he can, you know, maximize yardage after the catch.
Anybody else, Mark, who has been surging of late in the eyes of scouts that you're aware of who might be, again, a later round pick for the Patriots, but an ideal fit for the Patriots, one who could develop behind Brady for a couple of years?
There's a name, Bob, that has really been surging in the past couple of weeks, and we talked about this a little bit before we hit record. That's Chad Knauf, the quarterback from Princeton, who, you know, has not been a big name in draft circles, but he's getting a lot of buzz late. He just had his pro day. The Cardinals and the Giants were there. The Patriots have reportedly had him in for a private workout. His coach at Princeton, Bob Sarantz, a former Bengals offensive assistant, Connor Orr over at Monday Morning Quarterback, has a piece up right now breaking down Knauf a little bit and talking to Bob Sarantz, who basically compared him to Jared Goff. And now, yes, that's a head coach sort of banging the table for his guy. But he basically says, look, you see him throw. You see him move in the pocket. You see the athleticism. And Bob says, look, if you close your eyes and think you're at Ohio State, this guy's a day two pick. And when you watch Knauf play, you see those timing and anticipation throws, you know, making the deep out pattern throw before the receiver makes his break, you know, showing anticipation, which is so critical to play in the position well, because, you know, if you make a throw when you see the receiver open, the ball's coming out late. It's too late, and it's going to get intercepted in the National Football League. But Knauf's able to make those anticipation throws better than other quarterbacks in this class. I think if the Patriots decide to sort of wait and really sort of wait until maybe late day three or even an undrafted free agent, Knauf might be the guy they go with. He's really surging here in this later in the draft process, put up great numbers at Princeton. Sometimes they were running a two quarterback offense where he wasn't the only quarterback on the field. They would have two quarterbacks in the backfield, but he still set some school records, set an Ivy League record for a single season passing yardage this past season with over 3,400 yards, completed 73.2% of his passes this last season, also an Ivy League record. In 2016, he was the Ivy League this past season, he was the Ivy League Offensive Player of the Year. So it's a decorated player that's put up great numbers that fits what the Patriots want to do from a schematic perspective. And again, if they decide to wait, that's a name to watch later into the draft.
Mark Schofield, a name to follow on Twitter, at Mark Schofield. Mark, really appreciate your insights. Again, you can also read his work on InsideThePylon.com and through Pro Football Weekly, as well as a number of other outlets, and listen to his Locked On Patriots podcast. Mark, appreciate it. We'll be back with more right after this on the 98.5 The Sports Hub NFL Draft Preview.
Breaking it all down. This is the NFL Draft Show. Brought to you by Carrier. Turn to the experts on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And welcome back to our final segment on this edition of our NFL Draft Preview Show. I had a chance to speak the other day with Adam Kirchin of the Boston Herald, and I asked him simply, how important is this year's draft for the Patriots?
I think it's huge because I think everybody sort of looks at this year and the guys that they've lost, and it sort of seems like one of those facelift years where you sort of look at the roster and try to take a few guys that have gone and replace them with young, good talent. And so you look at this group of picks, and there's four in the first two rounds, and there's two first-rounders. There's just so much potential here to turn over the roster a little bit. So you have to make good picks, and there's too many opportunities here to replenish the roster to really miss out. So this is a real good chance for them. I feel like they can package some up if they want to move up a little bit. But, if I were them, I'd probably relatively stand pat, and try to use all these first four picks in the first couple rounds and see what I can do to bolster what they already have.
Have you been able to get a bead on a profile, whether you're talking about an offensive tackle, a linebacker, a defensive lineman, a quarterback, for example, being a position that the Patriots presumably are looking to fill in the draft, whether it's this year or next year?
You know, one of the linebackers we're looking at is Josie Jewell from Iowa. You know, he's a guy that is really fits a lot of their profiles. He was a three-time captain at Iowa, which is the first time that's ever happened at that program. And he was a very under-recruited guy, probably would have played Division III football had he not gone to Iowa very late in the process. Even they sort of overlooked him until it was late, but he was super productive. Obviously a big-time leader, just a great player. And, you know, he didn't have a great 40 time at the combine, but Kirk was talking about how they don't really even run 40s at Iowa and that they do it more on more closely to what you would see with the three cone, which is really what the Patriots look for too. And he said that that's kind of what they see as more of something that, you know, is more translatable to the football field. So, you know, he's one guy. I mean, there's a bunch of different guys that would fit by position. I mean, you know, there's the guy, Justin Reed from Stanford, who's the safety, who is obviously somebody that, you know, everybody sort of has been looking for right now. He's extremely smart, a tremendous athlete, runs in the 4.4s, a big guy. And he was coached at Stanford by a defensive backs coach named Dwayne Akina, who coached at Texas for a while and coached guys like Earl Thomas. And, you know, when I talked to him, you know, he's comparing Justin very favorably to the guys he coached there. So, and Reed is a guy that came out early, and Akina said that, you know, had he waited a year, he'd be talked about like a top 10 picks. So there's a lot of guys in the draft that you can identify at most of these positions and say, all right, well, this is sort of a guy that Patriots could or would really like.
It's interesting to me, and it leads into this next question very well, that you identify Iowa and Stanford as two programs who'd have players attractive to the Patriots, and you mentioned Kirk Ferentz, the former Belichick assistant in Cleveland. We've seen the Patriots collect more players this year from Iowa City in the Hawkeye program, including a free agent signee like Adrian Claiborne. We know Bill Belichick had an affinity for Rutgers players under Greg Schiano, as they have again proved this offseason. Programs of late, it seems to me, have developed this pipeline to Foxborough, include Vanderbilt, Arkansas/Wisconsin, the Brett Bielema connection, Stanford, yep, as you noted, NC State, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Tooney, and that's a program that has a lot of players, especially on the defensive side, not just Bradley Chubb, who are going to be coming out this year. We know about the relationship between Belichick and Nick Saban and the branches on his tree down in the SEC. And I would include Penn State, because of James Franklin's presence there. Now, a lot of the players the Patriots have gotten out of Vanderbilt were guys that were recruited by Franklin originally in Nashville.
Right.
Is that something you really look at closely, considering what Belichick expects out of players from an aptitude standpoint, not just their abilities, but their wherewithal to make adjustments and be versatile players?
Yeah, 100%. I think the type of program that's run is something that Belichick sort of looks for. I feel like certain coaches run programs a certain type of way, and if it's a culture thing, it might be part of it, you know, like the program culture, where you put a certain emphasis on football, where you put a certain emphasis on intelligence, certain emphasis on toughness. Those are things that if you want to sort of come to the Patriots and seamlessly transition, even though that's, you know, there's no such way of seamlessly transitioning, but, you know, there's guys, when I talk to guys who have played at Alabama, for instance, in the locker room and ask them, you know, well, what are the similarities between Bill and Nick? And they say, well, they're practically the same guy, you know, they run their program the same way. And the kids from Iowa that I talk to, you know, they really fit in very well right away. Even guys like Cole Crossman, who I talked to a lot this year, you know, he didn't seem to be in over his head when he got here. I do feel like Belichick looks for like-minded coaches and like-minded programs, and I think you can really, you know, look for that to continue.
Adam Kirchin of the Boston Herald is with us. You mentioned a couple of names. Who are some of your other favorite players in this draft?
Well, we mentioned Penn State. I like Mike Gesicki, the tight end. You know, he's a very athletic guy, obviously not right now considered a great blocker, but obviously he's a willing one. Now that they moved up, there's a few offensive tackles that I think would be great picks for them. Some mock drafts have Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame falling, and if he does fall to 23, it'd be hard to pass up because I think he's a tremendous player. I think Connor Williams from Texas is very good. I think Brian O'Neill from Pittsburgh, if they don't get either of those guys, would be a really, really nice pick. He's a tall guy. He's athletic. He used to be a tight end. Actually, if you watch his college film, they throw him the ball a couple times on tackle-eligible plays, which, you know, something the Patriots have done in the past. I really like Josie Jewell from Iowa at linebacker, but I also think, you know, Rashawn Evans from Alabama, Leighton Vander Esch from Boise State at linebacker are, you know, really, really good players that that could be there. As far as quarterbacks concerned, I know you've already covered this before, but, you know, I love Lamar Jackson from Louisville. I'm a big fan of his. And Kyle Lauletta, everybody talks about too, is, you know, somebody who checks a lot of their boxes. You know, when I did the story on Justin Reed from Stanford, I was pretty sold on him as well. I mean, he's somebody who would, you know, be a tremendous pro, I think. As far as the cornerbacks are concerned, the guy I like maybe the most is Jaire Alexander out of Louisville. He's just a real competitor. He almost reminds you a lot of Malcolm Butler in the way that he competes for the ball, and the way he, you know, is out there every snap, you know, trying to make a play. He's a great return man. And, you know, he's had a couple injuries this past year, but I still think he's as good as any corner in this class, but I do think it's a very good cornerback class. And wide receivers, there's a kid out of Memphis named Anthony Miller who was pretty electric this year. And if you want to just check him out a little bit, you can go on YouTube and watch his highlights versus UCLA. He makes some tremendous catches and plays after the catch. And there, of course, the kid DJ Moore out of Maryland, who's probably going to go pretty high. I'm not sure exactly how high. You never know how the dominoes fall, but he should be a first-round guy or second-round guy at the very least. So those are the guys that stick out the most. And of course, Bill is probably going to draft somebody else who nobody is predicting. But those are guys that, you know, I really like.
And very quickly, Adam, you mentioned a guy like Miller. It may not seem on the surface right now the Patriots need a wide receiver, but I would contend that for the Patriots, it's really value over need when it comes to the draft for the most part. And a guy like Miller, who's been hampered by a foot injury in the run-up to the draft, some believe is going to slip a bit down the draft boards of some teams because of that injury. And yet this has been an electrifying player in college. So it wouldn't be altogether surprising if somebody like that, and it might be a wide receiver, it might be another position where the Patriots seemingly are well fortified, and Belichick sees the value in that particular player and his potential.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't touch on running backs either, but there's a ton of good running backs here. The Rashad Penny kid from San Diego State, I really love. He's been good everywhere I've seen him, whether it be San Diego State or even the Senior Bowl. and the Darius Geis kid from LSU. Obviously, I got to get that LSU kid in there. he's tremendous. Oh, God, he's so fun to watch. Even on, you know, returns too, if you want to throw him on there. But another guy that's had some injury troubles over the years. But yeah, I mean, this draft is stacked. I mean, with good players. I mean, the Hayden Hurst kid from South Carolina at tight end. I mean, he's very capable of being there where the Patriots pick, and he's going to be hard to turn down because I think he's the best tight end in the draft. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
And our thanks to Adam Kirchin of the Boston Herald, as well as our other guests today, Steve Jones, the voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, Mark Schofield from InsideThePylon.com, and, of course, Patriots offensive lineman Ted Karras. Special thanks as well this week to Tom Carroll for all his hard work in producing today's show. Headlines are next. I'll talk to you again next Sunday, everybody, on our NFL Draft Preview show. So long.